Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'll just share shortly. Everyone will have a chance to come up and say something and how they were touched. But for me personally, the DMZ, where we went to the border and we were at the lookout and we got to pray. They said no pictures, but somebody was able to take a picture and put it up there. And so I was really surprised, but that was a good one because we got a chance to pray. It was my only opportunity to pray those bold prayers that God was going to open those doors of North Korea one day. And I want it to be soon because Jesus is coming soon. And I have to share that when we were leaving Korea and we were at the bus stop with Pastor Lim, and he told me, next year, I'm going in. He's going into North Korea. I was so blessed by him saying that. He was confirming my prayer, and it was encouraging to him to be bold and have the faith to go in. And so we'll continue to pray along those lines that the borders will open and people will hear the gospel. Amen. In North Korea. And that's all I have to say.
You want to have the different ones come up?
Okay, we're going to have Ozzy. Ozias come up.
Hello. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, first of all, first things first, when Pastor Jacob said this was a vision trip and not a mission trip, he was 100% right. This was a vision trip. Because when I sent my grandma a picture, she was like, wow, you guys are like tourists. Where's the work? And I'm like, we're going to get to it, right? We're just exploring right now. So that was like my very first sign. This isn't like Mexico. Or it wasn't like Mexico. Okay. So I'm going to start from the beginning, the flight to Korea. We have to go to Korea, then to Japan. My glasses broke on the flight. Yeah, the devil was already messing with me before I even got to Korea. Like, my glasses already broke, so I couldn't even see anything. Like, the first night there, I was blind. And then the next morning, Ed, he's one of the leaders of Japan Mission House, he gave me, like, this super glue, and I was like, oh, I'll put it together, I'll like, use it later, like, in the car ride or something. It worked really fast, so I was able to see again, like, as soon as we got to the deer park. So when we got to Japan, the part in Japan that touched me the most was that we had this morning prayer meeting, and you saw a picture of it. With like this big circle, and it was in the children's area, and that was the first time I got to meet everyone from the Japan mission team. And just their enthusiasm and their joy, just it made me feel so welcome, and it, like, I don't know, I was so worried, like I didn't know what to say, but they made me feel like that anything I said would be blessed by the Lord. Oh man, the sushi was great. we went to a sushi house where they had like the conveyor belt with the sushi rolling by. My favorite sushi, they had like a wagyu beef or something. It was like beef on rice, and it's just meat on rice, and that's why I loved it. I'm a meat lover. But then, okay, so in Japan, for me, I was really worried. Like, every time I go, like, this is like my second time going international, but I was like, I was so worried about what I was gonna do and like what I was gonna say. Like, I was like practicing my testimony, like left and right, and I was just like, I was just hoping that everything would go well. And praise the Lord, everything did go well. In fact, it went better than I expected, and I didn't have to worry at all because all the pastors took care of everything. I was just following along. But then there was one work day in Japan where it was all like going around working. It was like time slots where they like assigned us different workstations. And then whenever we wasn't working with the assigned group, we was helping demolishing the wall that you guys saw in the video. And then, yeah, after that, we packed up. And we was taking the bus to Japan Airport. And I don't know why, but like it just started pouring rain out of nowhere. And it was flooding. Like, I was in the back seat of the car. I'm like, I was taking a nap before the flight. The door opens, and it's a river outside. It's literally a river going down the road. I stepped outside, and it, like, soaked my entire leg. And, yeah, that was a big surprise. I spent the entire flight to Korea drying off. Which and then, speaking of Korea, Korea was different from what I was expecting. This entire trip was different from what I was expecting. Because I was expecting to be like Mexico, where it's just like rigorous work all day, every day. But Korea was very relaxed. It was just taking car rides and seeing like the history of Korea and the DMZ on the border of South Korea, North Korea. But the biggest landmark? I don't know. The biggest place I went that touched my heart was this missionary graveyard. And it was the graveyard of like the first missionaries, I believe, that came to Korea and like dedicated their whole life to Korea. And some of them didn't even know Korea was a thing before they showed up to Korea, and like the Lord just told them to give your whole life to Korea, and that's what they did. And I don't know. Seeing the founders, I guess, was a really crazy thing for me. Yeah, I don't really know how to end this. So bless you, bless everyone.
Good morning. Okay, mine's was a battle. Before I went on the trip, I prayed a lot because this was from last year that I always wanted to go to on missions, and it went. It opened up, and I was like, okay, God, show me what to do, where to go, whatever, it's because my legs, you know, is not good. But he just opened the doors, and I had good friends, got close to them, and we all just stuck together. And it was so amazing that we got to learn different cultures. I didn't know what to expect there, and I was like, whoa, they're not... They speak a little bit English, but wow, it was just amazing that they accepted us. Like, they wanted to hear our praise, worship, all that, because they cannot have that kind of stuff there. It was just like, whoa, we get to tell them about God that they cannot share to everybody. That's the Japan and Korea. And I was just like, okay, we can talk about God. And there's one point in time that I didn't expect, because we went to Nara and we got to see the deer, and I wasn't expecting them to, because I thought of Bambi, okay? Just cute Bambi. But they raced up to me and I had the crackers, and I was like, I didn't even have a chance to open them. I just flung them because they came up. I was so scared. And I was like, oh, that's God, you know. The devil, like, always steal and kill and destroy, but God is like, oh, just give him. But we had a lot of walking, just going to the palace. It was so amazing. And I didn't expect my birthday to have a cake. And I was like, oh, yeah. And $19 a head, I was like, oh, wow. But, yeah, going there, Ozzy, his glasses broke. I was, like, worried about him because he's blind. So I was opening my light to shine to see his, because he popped out. So I helped him find that. And then after that, he lost his earbuds. I was like, okay, let's go. We found that. But I'm just thankful that everything went okay. And we got to experience all the missions. Japan, Alex and Ed was like, oh, on fire. And we got to meet, the one that took me back was Lindy, who came from Africa. And 4 generations, her family there came here to Japan and teach them English. I was like, wow. Only if we can step out of fate like that and go. And we can, by faith of Jesus. And I just want to thank everybody for supporting us. And thank you for today. Amen.
Hi. I think what I got the most out of the whole trip was just the whole familial aspect of it. The camaraderie between our team, and not just among ourselves too, but also the people who hosted us in Japan and Korea, and met up with us there. I've always been very reclusive and quiet, so the experience had a lot to do with being a breakthrough for me, I guess. Because even right now, I'd rather be hiding behind that wall back there. But just having people to go through the whole experience with meant a lot. And even with the Thailand team, as we prepared for our respective trips together, because I was very nervous going into this whole thing. And doubt also had a lot to do with it, just not knowing how I would be able to pay for any of it, or having never really traveled before either. So I learned a lot about just trusting God, even in the uncertainty, even when I don't know what he's doing. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm old school. Bring the book. Praise the Lord. When I heard about Japan and Korea mission, my ears perked up and I started to think and pray about going. Amen. So that I could be a part of what God was doing in Asia. And like Ozzy said, it was a vision trip, amen. Missionaries do different stuff, and they're always working for the Lord, whether it's physical, spiritual, you know, in every way, amen. You hear it from even Pastor Oscar, you know, when he comes here. I was blessed with my husband's blessing to go, so thank you, Tommy. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Amen. And I asked him if, you know, I could go, and he said, well, you better start baking. And I was feeling like, whoa, he's not going to, you know, support me. And I'm telling you this not to shame him, okay? This is God working in my life, amen. And I heard the soft, still voice of God. And he told me, I'm your provider. Amen. You know, the word says, God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. And all I had to do is take a step of faith. Just say, here am I, Lord. I'll go. I'm glad I did, because I came back changed in my heart. I came back changed because of what I've seen and what I've experienced. The people, our camaraderie with our Japan Ohana, I mean, everyone took time, you know, to be on the side of Lori Lei, and she was worried about her leg. I was too, you know. Whether it was Pastor John, some of the Korean people, you know, Shanghai, or his sister China, Sky, we was all babysitting one another, I think. No, any play. But we did have fun, and we were really, we were one in the spirit as well. I really prayed for three things, and I had no idea. I had no idea what to expect on this mission trip. One of the three things was discernment, that God would hide us from the enemy, and for the favor of God. Thank you. I know God heard and answered prayer. I just know he did, because he's God all by himself. And when sons and daughters pray, amen, we're not orphans where we need to beg, amen. God answers prayer. He's so good. You know, trusting despite the language barriers, and some people spoke English, we're blessed. Learning humility and dependence on him, seeking God's heart for the nations. I feel like I have a deeper prayer and a deeper cry. For the 1%, you know, Asia only have 1% Christians. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Our heart should break for what breaks God. I tell you right now, I cannot shake this. I cannot shake this 1%, that only 1% is Christian. We should be in a place of desperation and cry between a porch and an altar. You don't have to be a prayer warrior. If you hear the word, let it come and do something in your heart. That's the voice of God's love for the nations, for the countries, that he would send. My prayer is that he would send his word, his gospel, and send his called. Amen. Who is the called? Do you hear him? Do you hear him calling you? Do you hear him? Can you step out? Would you be able to step out next year when Pastor Hong say, hey, this is the next mission trip. Prepare your heart to pray. Lord, are you calling me to this next mission trip? I don't know where I'm going to be, but all I know, I want to be in your presence. I want to be a part of the greatness that you do, amen. Be a part of the hands and feet of Jesus, amen. Even if you're praying most of the way, you know. I was so blessed that we had devotions in our apartment, and our apartment was Pastor Ilan and Pastor Steve Rogers. They was in the honeymoon room, amen. They had the big bed, praise God. And then me and Laurie Lee was in one bedroom, and we had a bunk bed. So, you know, the kid went on the top, you know. I want it for bless her, amen. Praise God. We take care of one another because God is love. Amen. And there was one morning, like Isaiah said, we were in devotion and Pastor Steve was leading. A few of us was crying in travail, like a deep cry of worship unto the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord rose up in Pastor Steve, and he said, God said there's going to be a revival in Japan, you know. Praise the Lord. We should be clapping right now, saints. Amen. Because God is good. He's big. He's good all the time. Amen. How many of you like to share the gospel with your friends, especially when they're going through some hell and high water? How many of us? Right? How many of us? What do we have to tell people? The hope of Jesus Christ. We give them the love of Jesus Christ. Well, what about our family out there? Our family out there that we don't know that God would die for. He died before we said yes. God gave his only son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am broken. I come back more broken. I come back more prayerful. You know, missions is your family. Missions is your coworker. Yeah, the irritating one sometimes. You know what I mean? Your spouse. You guys always getting on each other's nerve. You know what I say? You know, it's those rough edges that God gives you, who you are around with in your sphere, to humble you, to help you to walk in his humility, to help you to go low, amen, go low, so that God can be high and lifted up, to humble ourselves, amen. I'm not ashamed to say that, yeah, I have hard times sometimes. I'm a prayer person, but hey, I bleed too, amen. I bleed too, praise God. I make mistakes, I fall short, and I repent a lot, amen, because God is good all the time, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. And I learned that God is everywhere, even if you don't see it, amen. He is moving. Do you believe it? He's everywhere. The Bible says he's omnipresent, amen. He's everywhere, at every corner of the earth. But where are the people that's going to pray him into those regions, amen? Are we praying him into those regions, amen? It's time, it starts with us. Let the fire of the altar never burn out in us, amen? And start to pray for those regions, amen, that are, you know, less fortunate without knowing the gospel, just like that 1% in Japan, amen? Do you believe that God can give you the anointing to break yokes in people's lives, to break down the barriers? He gives you authority and dominion over those things, amen? He said it in his word. Let's activate, amen? And call him to his word and say, Lord, ignite, amen? Ignite, amen? And go, amen? He will fill your mouth, hallelujah, with the word of the Lord, amen? There are a lot of Shinto and Buddhist religion in Japan. And like everywhere else in all the world, there are atheists and agnostic people. Amen. People that don't believe in God and people don't believe in nothing. You know? Praise God. The last day when we were there, yes, you know, we're so blessed. Even though if it was stormy, raining, there was a double typhoon. Some people home already knew that there was a double typhoon. But God, amen? But God. We got a little bit wet, but you know what? We can handle that, amen? We can handle that, you know? The main thing, we're safe getting on our vehicle, you know? We had some roller coaster rides, okay, on top of the van, okay? Can some of our people say amen, you know? And Pastor in the back was like, whoa, boom, whoa! Whoa, whoa. And every time he was saying whoa with every bump. And, you know, sometimes it was like. Yeah, we're going to pray for one special pastor that was behind the seat, behind the driver's wheel. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. Yeah, what is his name? Pastor Hong. We love him, you know. We pray for all pastors, praise God. But, yeah, we went to Nara, and nobody wanted to say this, but I feel like I got to say this just to bring some laughs out. You know, home on the range where the deer and the antelope play. Oh, they're going to play, all right. They look at you like you're the food. Once you get the cracker, they're like this. They're coming. And yeah, they bite you. Some people got bite in their collar. Yeah? Some people got bite in their stomach. Some people got bite in the leg. And one person got bite in a shirt. And there was a tiny, tiny hole that she had to go buy one new shirt. She didn't change it. But you know what? Yeah, they were aggressive a little bit. You know, you get food like, eh. Pastor Elon, she almost took one out. I was like, oh my gosh, she could have went to jail. And I hear Pastor Steve like, hey, don't hurt him, it's on him. It's saw the video, she was like, she said, yeah, I was going to kick him. And her and Lori lady, I want big cracker. Imagine one sleeve of Ritz cracker, okay? One, she had one. She wouldn't grab them because they're always coming up to her biting. She would fly them and they went. And she's older, like, ah, yeah. And then I saw that she was on the level. She's like, oh, get away, fly them. And she would, you know.
And who's on the rock?
Oh, yeah. So I found a little strategy really quick. Pastor John and Pastor Hong was in the back just talking. They're not crackers, so they're not worried, right? Polly wanted a cracker. That deer wanted a cracker. So I got one cracker. I'll squash them up, my two hands. I'll fly them, and it'll stop them, right? So I'm running. And so they come quick to me, and I'm grabbing the cracker one by one and scattering out to kind of like hold them back so I can run for safety, right? And here's this monument. There's this big monument like this, right? It's like marble. Him, Pastor, and Pastor Hong was talking. I mean, I was going to run for the hills on that. That monument, I wanted to run on that monument for safety. But I don't think that the Japanese people would be happy about that. So I saw this one ledge, this one place where you could sit, and I went run on top there. And I was on top. I was the head, and there was the tail. Praise the Lord. But, yeah. Korea, you know. I am half Korean. I'm blessed to be. My father is pure Korean. Moses won Mo Cho. And I was so blessed to go. I was so blessed to go and to put my feet on Korean soil. I just felt like my dad would be so blessed if he was here that I made it to the motherland, you know. Praise God. There, you know, it was so nice to see churches along the way. Whereas in Japan, there was hardly, I mean, you can count them on your one hand, how many you could see, not very much. I saw more rice paddies than churches in Japan, you know. And, you know, they say rice give you long life, but it's Jesus that gives us long life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Most of the Korean people were, the 30% church people were Protestant and Catholic, and some Christian, and some little bit, maybe full gospel, right, Pastor? Amen. I did my homework. And praise the Lord. We went to DMZ, the demilitarized zone, and it was very heavily secured. It's a buffer zone that separates North Korea and South Korea. We walked down the third infiltration tunnel, which was 870 feet. It's very low and narrow, so everyone had to wear a hard hat and ducked in certain places. You know, Pastor John always talk about, like, he want to be tall, right? I was just laughing in the back. I'm sorry, Pastor. I love you so much. You know what I mean? But he was conking his head. You believe that tall guy was conking his head on top the, you know, this is a cave. And he was like, don't. And so even Pastor Steve, he was the tallest one. There was some conks, you know. And if we never had the hard hat, I'm telling you, we'd be puka galore and headed for the doctors. But God is so good. And imagine 870 feet times two. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not as fit as I used to be. I'm not that gym rat, you know what I mean? I was huffing and puffing on my way up. And Sky, he's so nice. He go, you want me to take your backpack? I said, no, I get him, because I'm figuring, like, workout, right? But maybe quarter way to the end, I told him, Sky, can you take my backpack? And, you know, Sky was such a, he really has like a pastor's heart. He really cares, and he's very mindful. I'm so grateful for him, you know, so grateful even how, even Laurie Lee would testify that, and pastors. but so grateful. Well, he has good examples here, right? Pastor Steve and Pastor John, Pastor Hong, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah, we went to the Dora Observatory event, and Pastor Hong asked us to pray, and it was such a, for me, I felt like it was powerful, because we went there on a mission, you know? I don't know who pray out there, you know what I mean? But I know God will hear the prayers of the righteous that avail it much. For Korea, Korea is very dark. It's very dark. Many people had gotten, many people, family was separated because of communism in Korea. Can you imagine? We would see the pictures, and you would see the reunion of these people, you know, that was separated. I cannot imagine being, you know, taken from my family. It didn't matter who you are, child or parent, elder, it didn't matter. But I do know they have a redemption story today, whether they know God or not, amen? And Hanawon, that's a place where we visited, and it's government run. It's a center for North Korean refugees, and the main purpose to help North Korean deserters is to adapt to life in South Korea before they enter society permanently. And they help with social adaptation, practical life skills, vocational and employment preparation, psychological support, and education. That was a really neat place to go to see God move, and that there are Christians in that seat, amen, of managerial position, amen. I'm so blessed. We really got to pray for them, you know. There's a lot going on, amen. There's a lot going on that we still don't know, but, you know, people are broken, amen. We need to pray for them, safety. And we also went to the Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery, and we learned a lot about stories of Christian missionaries and their families and how they came, and they were called, amen. They were called by God. They were called by God to go to Korea and preach the gospel and teach. Some of them was teachers, and they build schools. Some of them was in the medical field, and they build hospitals. And God used them in their talents and their abilities. But I believe the strong force was the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, that glue them all together, amen. And this man, I cannot forget. And somebody talked about it. His name is Horace G. Underwood. There was a man that named Horace G. Underwood. God told him to go to Korea, and he said, "Where's Korea? Where's Korea?" This is in the 1800s or 1900s, the early. He's like, "Where's Korea?" You know, God made this earth, and he knows every name of every region. And if you hear his voice and he's calling you to go somewhere to change their region and bring the light of God, the darkness is going to flee. Amen. That story stuck with me till today. I am changed by it till today. The prayer for missions, missionaries, the gospel of Jesus and the unsaved. It reminds me that God can call ordinary people like us. Amen. To go places that they may not even know. And he uses the obedient to bring his light to others. I thought of Pastor Oscar Brooks. God sent him to the Congos to preach the gospel of Jesus in a jungle. That's what that testimony reminded me of. Pastor Oscar. Because he went into the jungles where nobody knows. You know? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think I'm done. Praise the Lord. Wait, I have one scripture to share. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And some of us know the word Maranatha. It means come, Lord, come. It's a revelation type of word when the Lord comes back. But until the gospel is preached, you don't have to be a pastor to declare the word of God. And if you're not sure about how to talk about it, go read the book of John. It talks about Jesus' life. And you may, and the Holy Spirit will illuminate his word, amen, for you to understand it. But God bless you. Thank you for those who prayed for us, who sowed into us, who blessed us in every way. And we just thank God for his goodness. Pastor Steve.
Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. You know, there were so many things that happened during our trip that was very, very wonderful and a new thing, you know. It's a new thing. We got to taste what it's like to go international to different places. But we know the word of God says, Matthew 28, go, right? Jesus has all authority and power, and he said, go. That doesn't mean you have to go international. Just go wherever, to our neighbor, right here in our community, wherever the Lord is working. And I was I was just reading this other portion of scripture in Luke, and it says, Luke 24, where Jesus is giving his last instructions. And it compares to when he was doing that in Matthew 28 about going. But he says here, this it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You know, the command to go, sometimes, you know, as a young Christian, I used to take that scripture in Matthew 28 and just take and say, oh, yeah, we're going to go, and go here and there. But without realizing, you got to be equipped, too. There's a time to be equipped and prepared and receiving the promise of the Father. And, you know, the local church is the place where we get equipped, right? Isn't the local church the place where God has chosen? You know, we read in Acts chapter 13 about in Ephesus, Antioch, where Apostle Paul and Barnabas and the different ones were praying, and they were just ministering and worshiping God. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate Paul and Barnabas unto myself for the work that I've called them to. You know, there was a time of preparation, but it was through the local church that he sent out the missions, and he sends you out. He prepares you, and you're sent out. And this what we went on was just a taste, a touch. You know, for me, it was the first time going international. I haven't been international. But I remember, you know, my wife and I were ministering and pastoring a church in Keikaha, Kauai for 8 years. And while we were there, God brought Japan on my heart, on our hearts, to pray for Japan and to intercede for them. And it was a pretty long season. We did that. And we thought we were actually going to go to Japan while we were over there in Kauai, but it didn't work out that way. We came back to Oahu, and look at that. We got to go. And it was I want to share this, read this from, you know, we have this missions book. You see this? This was last year's, 2025. And it has, you see all the flags up here, all the different countries represented. The missions from all these, we support missionaries from all these different countries. And, you know, the Great Commission is to go into all the nations, to all the world. And we got to go to Japan and Korea, but this one thing from this book that really touched me was there, you know, it gives a description of Japan mission. Talks about the Verways, David and Sue and Alex and Ari, and their ministry there. And that's where we went. We got to go. But there, you know, it explains what they do over there. But there's this prayer request. They put down these prayer requests. And it says, partner with us through your prayers. Japan mission is in need of intercessors. Intercessors. And we know all ministries need intercessors. We need intercessors here at Door of Faith to pray, right? We stand in the gap. God has called us to prayer. And, you know, it's so vital. It's vital to the success of the ministries. And that we're not just, you know, just going blindly and just saying, I'm going because Jesus said go. No, we're organizing and committing and being equipped to be an effective ministry and missions and all different areas. So that's why they're doing this. Pastor John and Pastor Jacob are putting these teams to get a taste of what it's like, a vision, to get a vision. And I'm so glad I got to go because it touched my heart. Like Sister Stacy was talking about, it touched my heart so much when we got to see what God is doing, what they're doing, and how they're sharing, the missionaries are sharing their life. You know, I mean, all the different ministries we got to visit, Pastor James Kang and what he's doing for, ACA, American Asian Academy, and just helping, you know, different cultures, different kids, and all the things that are going on there. You really got to look at that. But he says, is in need of, Japan Mission is in need of intercessors who would faithfully pray as we seek to evangelize the lost and assist the churches. For the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's in James chapter 5. Prayer is so vital. That's why we have prayer meetings here to encourage everyone to pray together. I mean, pray at home, pray whenever we can, but we have it here for prayer, for intercession, because this is where the warfare is. It's in our, you know, it's in our minds, but it's the spiritual forces against us and against it's against the word of God. The devil, the enemy is against the word of God. He doesn't want, against the church, he doesn't want the gospel to go out. And Paul said, our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're spiritual weapons. And we got to learn how to use that. So I want you to just think about this, because in our going, if you get opportunity to go, take a step of faith, because the next missions trips are going to be coming up next year. I want to encourage you. Take a step. And as my wife was mentioning, usually she mentioned about David, King David, when they went to battle, the kupunas stayed back and watched with the women. Well, we're kind of like kupunas, but we went. And my brother, Pastor John, went. And, you know, and I'm thankful my brother came along with us, because it was such a comforting thing, you know. It was great. And one more thing about the when we were going through that tunnel, Stacy was mentioning, my brother was in front of me, and it was super low. I mean, it's wet, and we had the good. I thank God for those hard hats, man, because my brother's in front of me, and I'm walking along, and he's bunk. He hits his head, and I'm thinking, oh, that scared me already, man. I'm going like this all the way through the tunnel. I came out, my back, I was soaking wet and sweat. I had a workout and a half, man, but it was such a blessing. I thank Pastor Jacob for taking us through all that, and even after, you know, we had such a great time and it was such a learning thing with the Korean at the cemetery also, and just powerful, powerful, how they gave their lives, you know, they went. They went with the knowledge, and my brother mentioned this many times about, you know, they would say goodbye to their family and where they're from, and they would actually, in those days, they had a coffin, and they fill it up with their clothes, and that was to be buried in when they went to the foreign country they were going to be missionaries. And that kind of love for the Lord and love for the people and just wanting to serve the Lord. I'll leave you with one scripture. It says in John chapter 12, I believe it was talking about Jesus saying, if anybody wants to serve me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Wherever the Lord may lead you with that kind of attitude, wherever, Lord, if it's just here, I mean, it's just as important as going to any place, you know, but it's just to be where the Lord is, where the Lord wants you to be. And that following the Lord is a daily thing, that we're being equipped every step of the way. You know, the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings. You may just call you to take a small step to, the door of faith, and to learn and to grow and be equipped. But there's a greater vision for each one of our lives. God has a great vision for each one of us, something greater than ourselves. And when God gives you a vision, it's beyond you, and you say, oh, there's no way I can do this. Because God made it that way, because it's gonna take the Lord working in you and through you to bring it to pass. I can bear witness to that. So I want to encourage everybody, if you get a chance to take this the next missions trip, sign up. Don't wait, because I believe there's gonna be a lot more people. Because we're blessed with Thailand and the team, and just so encouraged. I know everybody was really encouraged on this trip, and God is so good. God is so good. Pastor John, did you want to?
I've got to defend myself.
Oh, sorry.
I have been stomped on, slapped around, kicked in Okoli, and loved on. Yes, and I want you to see the height difference. First of all, I used to be his height until he was born.
I love you, John.
I love you too, brother. I want to close today's service, okay? Pastor Jacob and I have been talking quite a bit, and I just give you my view. There is a lot more to be said about this group, Japan group, that I witnessed. I know that you guys came away with a lot more in your heart than you were able to share today. There's something about this platform or being in front of people that makes people forget about what they're going to talk about. With Stacy, it causes her to remember everything she's ever taught about. So she only gave us a short look at what's really going on inside, right? And you guys would get to know that. But from my perspective, I wasn't with the team that went to Bangkok. I've traveled to Bangkok maybe 5 or 6 times. But that team had an experience that I joked about it the last time I was up here, that they benefited in having a 5-star hotel that they stayed in. They had luxury transportation. But they had something that we didn't have in Japan, and that was they actually got to see missionaries who do the work. They actually got to see what it takes from a missionary. From the Japan team, we were with an organization, Japan Mission, whose focus is reaching the Japanese through the teaching of English and supporting churches. So they do publications, they do a lot of media. We met some dynamite media people. They have a homestay program where Japanese families can come in and live with a Western couple in a Western home. It's very, 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 very good from the standpoint of not being in your face kind of thing. And most of the people that we would meet in Japan that came to that ministry came because they wanted their children or they themselves wanted to learn English. So that was the door opener. And Pat and I lived in Japan, and that we've known that for years. So Pastor Jacob and I, when we talked, I want you to take a perspective from Ephesians chapter 4. We look at the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Both of these trips had different characteristics, but one thing they had in common was generally they were made up of people who had never traveled internationally. Just totally unaware of it. Now, Carlotta's sitting there smiling and looking at John and going, see, I told you, kind of thing. She's from Hong Kong, raised, moved to Vancouver. There's something different about when you go someplace and actually see what's going on, what God is doing, as opposed to hearing missionaries talk about it. But from a church perspective, we said, let's send people who have absolutely no misconceptions or perceptions that are rigid, but are willing to experience. Because the philosophy of ministry is that a church is a place that equips the saints. Your first place to be, provoked by missions should be in a church. The church that I came from years ago, it was pray, give, and go. And I understand in Door Faith, Pastor Mildred said pray, give, and glow, or something to that effect. But the Assemblies of God says pray. Absolutely. So we start praying for missionaries. When Pat and I came to this church, there wasn't a flag here. But Pastor Mildred had years of mission support behind her. She had always been missionary, but she wasn't necessarily talking about the missionaries. She was giving money and building churches and supporting local people. My opinion is that you got to be exposed to missionaries. But before you can be exposed to them and understand them, as you listen to a guy like Oscar, he was called. And we don't talk about the call very much. But nothing great is accomplished through God without the call. And there's a lot of great people that try to do all kinds of things in their own flesh. And some do reasonably well, others don't. But unless you're called, you can't deal with what is ahead of you. Once the call is established, you know, then you start to pray. You say, is that really God? Is that God speaking to me? I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. And let me tell you, the call gets clarified. And then you get exposed to somebody who's been there, or somebody said something, or somebody says something else. And then you begin to give. You see, first realization, and Stacy kind of touches on this a little bit. If you really care about Korea, how much money are you giving to missions in Korea? It's not just prayer. There's a sacrifice that's associated with missions. It's not just the people who go. It's the people who fund their going. And who was it? Somebody said something about eating the food, even though it wasn't tasting so good, that you bought every week. Who was that? Someone, the first person that came up, second person? There are people, who? Elon. She said, yeah, oh, she's not even listening to me. You said something about people buying food even when it didn't taste good or it wasn't as good as you had hoped it would be. I don't know if you remember that, but there was a period there where you say people in this church supported these teams going wonderfully. You remember that now, yeah. And the idea was that we sent some people out who had never been anywhere, not knowing what they were going to do and what they were going to come back with. But from a pastoral perspective, I want you to know this. That's part of the equipping. Now, there might be just the possibility. Isaiah says, last year he went to Mexico. He went with four other young people. This is his second trip internationally. Is it possible God's going to do something in him that we can't even begin to wonder about? He can't stand up. His whole time up here, he's going backwards. I don't know if he, I'm standing here, I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. He's fidgeting this way, his mic's down here. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of you, but I want you to know this is a starting place. There's small beginnings begin with standing up here, standing in front of 60 people and telling what God has done in your heart. And part of it, you touched on, you got your feet wet. Pretty soon you can get your okoli wet. Then it's going to get up to your shoulders. And then it's going to go over your head, buddy. And then you're going to be all in. That's the way the Lord works. It's not this just step in and dance around in the wet or water a little bit. Everybody notice the nice jacket he's wearing? Anybody? You don't know what we went through in Korea. He bought that jacket in a market. He was slaving for it. We've just talked about it two or three times. He finally walks up to me after about an hour of being gone shopping, and he's smiling. Stretches. Yeah, I said, you got a new jacket. Yeah. How much was it? Oh, I think $35. I said, really? In what was that country? Vietnam? That thing is made. And they sell it for $150. Right in Ala Moana. Listen, I make fun of it. We were making fun of it. They didn't tell you half the story with those deer. Stacy just got started on it. Pastor Jacob and I could not believe we saw so many women, well, and guys too, got so frightened by a bunch of deer wanting their crackers. It was a hilarious time. But I'm saying this for this reason. Nobody knows what's going to go on when you go to a foreign country in a group of people you don't know and experience with a desire to see what God is doing. That's all we want to do. We want to give you the opportunity to make a decision to find out more about God. That's what church, I think, should be about. You get the opportunity and the provocation to make a decision to say, I want to do this. You don't have to know what the end result is. All you have to do is to say, I'm going to trust God that he's going to give me something I can't see here. I think about Sky. I don't know what Sky is going to do. But look at him. He came here. Some of you guys, Junior, you're nodding your head. You know where that boy was a year ago. It took him 7-8 months to say, I can do this. He's back there on the machine. He's helping with our graphics. He's doing it, and he decides to go. I started crying when I first heard, Sky's going to go to Japan. And then I found out why. Stacy's kicking him in the Okoli. Stacy's kicking him every chance she gets. And Mom and Dad are going, yeah, keep kicking him, Stacy. He goes, and I watched him. He did everything he could possibly do to make that trip a success for everybody else. But I know God planted something in him too. So with that being said, I beg your pardon? My wife is starting to prophesy. Come up here. If you're going to prophesy, make it so they can hear you. You know, I'm looking around this audience, and I know 99% of you pretty well. I know personally the hindrances. Darren doesn't like food. That's strange. You know, I make fun about that, but I can't go to Bangkok. What are you going to eat? You know, other people go, oh, my legs swell up when I'm on the plane for more than 6 hours. 6 hours of the long flight. Other people go, they don't speak my language. You know, everybody got a reason why they can't go. Now, let me give you something that's an aside. We go to Vegas last 3 or 4 years to be with 3 friends. 3 families. 2 of them are sitting here today. They live in Vegas. And the only reason we go to Vegas is to spend time with them. We're there for 3 days. Them and 2 other families. You know, and I want you to know this. Every time we get on a Hawaiian Airlines flight going to Vegas, there's like 24 wheelchairs. They get on the plane first. You get to Vegas, maybe there's 1 wheelchair. They can't walk to get on the plane because they can go first. But when they get to Vegas, they're getting off first. I want you to know, you don't have to be in a wheelchair to go to the foreign country. You can board regular time. Dennis, I'm talking to you too, brother. There's a lot of people in this place. You have no idea what God's going to say to you when you're looking at somebody. And this is typical. I've lived in Asia for many years traveling. When you say, hello, how are you? And they look at you with a strange look. You go, hello, how are you? They still don't hear you. Americans want to yell and talk slower to people who can't understand them. You get over there, and they just go, and they're gone. Japan, you experienced that. Bangkok, I think you had just a piece, but the Koreans all spoke English pretty much. Dear ones, I'm going to close the service. Understand this. Pastor Jacob's coming next week, and he's going to give a summary of this summer. He and I have worked on this quite a bit, but we're already making plans for Vietnam for next year. He made that commitment. We are supporting 2 or 3 pastors. We have churches in the mountains. We have churches in the city. You get a chance to eat cat soup if you want. There's adventures to be had in Vietnam that Bangkok only knows a little bit about, but and Korea and Japan are too civilized, but you get out in the wilderness and you find out what God's really doing. When people will ride on a scooter 50 miles to be in a church praying in the mountains, 4,000 feet in the mountains, nothing else going on, but they grow rice, they survive, and they love the Lord. They build churches on mountain edges. It's just phenomenal. So rise with me. I want you to carry this word. The church is here to equip you for the work of ministry. The number one ministry of the church is to reach the lost. Reach the lost. I'm so blessed. We have some people here that are working on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays in Waikiki, starting to share Christ. And I pray that more of us would just get on fire, even in your workplace, in your families, whatever it is. You cannot have a complete day unless you've shared Christ with somebody. Father, we thank you this morning for these testimonies. While we had fun with them, they grew, Lord. We know they've grown so much. And we thank you for the opportunity. And we thank you for all the support that was given by this church for these people to go to these places and to return with these stories. But we're looking for transformed hearts as you are, Lord. Transformed to the place of sacrificial giving, sacrificial going. Lord, that you would deal with each one of us in a way that we cannot deny is you. So bless these good people, Father, as we go from this place. Bring us back again at the appointed time. Give us opportunity to grow and practice what you put on our hearts right here in Hawaii. And we give thanks to you for it now. in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Go in peace. Lord bless you.